This morning, I just want, is the last Sunday, of course, of 2025. Who was happy with their Christmas gifts in 2025? If you're happy with your Christmas gifts, please put your hands up. If you're not happy, please put your hands up as well. Not many. Okay, so one of the gifts I got this year, which I thought was probably one of the best I've ever got, because normally, come Christmas time, I'm usually the one, the recipient of bad gifts. But this year I got the good gift I got was sausage making. So I'm going to be going for a sausage making workshop sometime next year, so which I thought was a really good gift. It's something that I want to learn, and then maybe I can make my own sausages, and then I can maybe start selling them. So it was just for myself, because I'm amazed at how Pastor Charlie's family, they're very good at making sausages. Very, very good. And I thought it's a culture that they've passed down, you know, and hopefully their children are going to carry it on. The Italians, you know, they're big on, they make their own tomato sauce, they make their own sausages, so it's a really good thing. Those are some family traditions that you want to ensure that they're passed down from generation to generation. Amen? So, 2025 is obviously coming to an end in the next 3 days, and then the new year, it will be upon us. But I want to say that I bet you a lot of you are probably making dates with yourself to go to a cafe somewhere and write down your resolutions for 2026 and say, in 2026, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But this morning, I just want to let you know that it is a decision and not a date that is going to change your life. Because a date is passive, but a decision is active. Nothing spiritually changes just because the calendar turns. The Bible never says transformation comes from time passing. It says that transformation happens when it comes from obedience and response. This is why Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. God didn't say wait for the right day. He said choose whom you will serve. We also need to understand that God works through response, not readiness. Throughout Scripture, God moves when people respond, not when conditions are perfect. We know that Moses wasn't ready when he was called. Gideon wasn't confident. Peter wasn't stable. The disciples weren't prepared. But one thing they had in common was a decision to obey. Come, Jesus said. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked out. So faith in our lives is activated by response, not readiness. There's no power in a date. Because you sort of like say, you know, as soon as it turns 1 January, there's going to be this power that's going to come that will give me the strength that I need to change my what? My life. It comes from a decision that you will make. In Philippians 3 verse 13, it says, forgetting what's behind me, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has helped called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then in Matthew chapter 14, this is when Jesus fed the 5,000. This is just immediately after John the Baptist was beheaded. And they came and they told him that he was beheaded. So Jesus went away, but the crowds followed him. And then after he had fed the people, immediately after this, he insisted that his disciples get back into the boat to cross to the other side so that he would, while he sent the people home. And it says, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. So it begins to tell us that there was a storm, they were far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And then it says, about 3 o'clock, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and says, don't be afraid. He said, take courage, I am here. And then Peter called to him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus says. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water. But he says, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. And then he cried out, save me, Lord. And then Jesus reached out to him. Then lastly, in Acts chapter 1, there was a dilemma that the apostles faced. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And then they said, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. And this is the key thing. He says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So we understand that movement in our life begins with a decision, not a date. Because Paul tells us that forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the goal. Dates don't change lives again. Decisions do. You have to understand that growth is not automatic with time. It's intentional with surrender. You don't drift into God's purpose. You decide into it. You got to understand here, he said, I press on. Which tells me that you have to make an individual decision in your life to say, hey, I am not going to hold on to my past failures, my past successes, but really I'm going to make a decision that I will press on toward the goal. What he was saying is that Jesus grabbed a hold of me on the Damascus Road for a reason, and I'm running to fully become what he saved me for. We have to understand in our life that when God comes, in fact, what we have to do is that if we look at the life of Abraham, Abraham built altars and pitched tents. Means that there will come a time in your life where you will encounter God. And it's in those moments that God will come into your life, or and it's going to be an invitation to say, are you going to trust me more? Are you going to draw closer to me? And it's in those moments where we've already made a decision to follow Christ. The question is that when he begins to ask for a deeper commitment, what are we going to do in that moment? So the upward call is that God is continually calling you higher into Christ, into maturity, into obedience, and into his eternal purpose. And so the prize, the joy, the reward, and the approval of finishing your God-given race in Christ. So what I have to say to you this morning is that there's a level that you're at. But there is another level that God is calling you to. There's a level that you're at, but there is another level that God is calling you to. Because what he's saying is that, hey, are you going to fully pursue what God has called for you? Or are you just going to settle for the little? Or are you really going to prosecute and to step into the assignment that God has for your life? Because this verse that Paul tells us about, it's not motivational. It is our spiritual posture. I won't be trapped by my past. I won't settle for partial obedience. But also that I am running toward Christ's full intention for my life. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you know the way God comes to us, he doesn't come banging on the door. It is a gentle whisper. It is an invitation. Will you yield to me? That is what the Lord is saying to you and I. It's not going to be a loud knock on the door like the police. They knock gently. He knocks gently. No, you know, the police, they bash down your door. God doesn't do that. It will be an invitation. You see, some of you, the Lord, you wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, oh, I don't know why I woke up. That is the Lord. You sort of like wake up and you think, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And this has happened so many times. And you wonder to yourself, why do I keep waking up at 2 o'clock? That is an invitation that the Lord is calling you into something. Will you draw to me? And remember, you see, there's a season in your life where these opportunities come, where the Lord is whispering to you. As an elderly person, as a young person, it is just a gentle knock. Will you yield to what the Lord is calling you into? He's not going to force his way. He's asking that. It's an invitation to yield. You see what we read that scripture in Matthew chapter 14. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus doesn't force Peter. There was an invitation that are you going to trust? This was an invitation to trust. Yielding is not weakness. It is alignment. So faith begins in your life when you respond to God's invitation, not when all the answers are clear. So one of the things that we have to do this year is we recognize that it is a decision that is going to change our lives, not just the date turning, is that faith has an order. Discernment comes before movement. When Peter got down out of the boat, the first thing that he did is that the one thing that we have to do is that we have to plan, we have to commit, we have to wait, and then we go. Plan, Peter discerns, if it's you. And then when he believes that he's heard the voice of God, he commits and he waits for Jesus' word. He says, it is I. And then he goes, he steps out in obedience. You see, what happens is that there are times where God will come and do things in your life. But there are times where you will initiate contact with the Lord. So God will come. When he came and he saved us, we drew closer to him. But there are other instances where you will have to make a move towards God. You will have to make the choice. You see, this is where you submit. You know, the whole purpose is that you have to make some plans for your life. And what you do is that when you make plans, you then submit them to the Lord. Doesn't the word tell us that submit your plans to the Lord and he will direct your steps or commit your ways to him? So there are things that you have to do, but you commit yourself to him and you say, Lord, these are the plans that I have for the next year or for the rest of my life, but I yield them to you. Waiting is not inactivity. It's preparation for your obedience. So faith is not rushed, but once you hear the Lord speak in your life, obedience is immediate. You need to move. One of the things that, and I sincerely believe this, is that if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night and you sort of like ask yourself, this is very strange. Why am I waking up at this time? We have to understand that sometimes, or you wake up and there's a song. Sing, you know, you are hearing a worship song. You need to understand that there is a calling. You are being called to something. The Holy Spirit is trying to pull you into something. And I would ask that you don't ignore those invitations that the Lord gives for you. The scripture does not put things in there for nothing. Because you have to understand, it says, when he had sent them away, he went away to pray. And then he says, at about 3 a.m., he came to them. And you have to ask yourself, why? We have to understand that prayer or the night was broken up into four watches. And the watch that Jesus came, he came at the darkest time. He came when their limit, they had been rowing all night. They were exasperated. And they didn't know what was happening. And so what happens is that God comes just at the right time. That time when we were just about to give up, then he appears. Will you yield? Those invitations that the Lord is asking of you, that, hey, this year I am asking for a deeper commitment. And remember, he doesn't bang down the doors. It's very, very subtle. The question is, will you yield to that? Will you wake up? Will you just sort of like say, okay, Lord, I know I'm up. I don't know why I'm up, but I'm going to worship you. When you wake up with a song in your heart, just spend the next 5 minutes just saying, say, it's a bit strange. Why is this song? No, that's your spirit calling you to something. So now you begin to just pray. Lord, I'm just going to spend the next 5 minutes praying to you. When you wake up in the middle of the night, it's an invitation to yield. And normally, sometimes you are woken up at mostly the same time. Understand that that is the time where God is calling you. That is the time where you need to watch your prayer watch where you are praying. So if it's around 2 a.m., that is the time, that's the hardcore time where the night is darkest and there's spiritual warfare. That's the time that's what the Lord is saying to you, that you have to do some warfare. So you'll be interceding on your own, on your behalf. But one of the things that I want us to look, even as we recognize that it is a decision that will change our lives, not a date, is I want us to watch out for distractions. You see, in Acts chapter 6, it talks about a problem that was happening when things were going well for the church. The church was multiplying. And of course, if we look at that in your lives, everything is going great. Things are going, everything is going swimmingly. Everybody's happy in the house. And then it says all of a sudden there was a problem. So even in the midst of things going well, there was a problem where people were complaining that we were not getting our fair share of the distributions of the food. And so the disciples had to think to themselves and say, hold on, this is a big problem, but we cannot be the ones to fix it. And so what they decided to do was to say, hey, let's select for ourselves. We cannot move away from the Word of God. And they came up with a strategy. Let's select for ourselves some guys, and they spelled out their qualifications. They have to be full of wisdom, full of the Spirit of God. And then they selected them, and then they said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the Word. Which tells me that there are some choices that we are going to have to make in the midst of everything going well, and sometimes even in the midst of chaos, things not going well. Because sometimes good times are mixed with, so many things happening in our lives. They said, we will not be distracted. We will give ourselves. That was a commitment that they make. So we have to be mindful that in all the things that are happening in our lives, let us watch out for distractions, things that will take us away from our purpose. Their purpose was to say, we will not move away from the Word of God. We will not move away from the disciplines that we are supposed to employ in our lives. Because the moment we move away from the Word of God, then all of a sudden we move away from power. We move away from intimacy. We move away from relationship. Because that is the foundation by which you will do the ministry that you need to do in your life. Without the foundation of the Word of God and intimacy with the Father, there can be no proper ministry that you will do in your life. Distraction, therefore, is not a sin in our lives. But we have to be careful about misalignment, because what we focus on determines what we stand on. They made a deliberate decision that we will give of ourselves. And I'm asking this year that is coming up, in all the midst of your planning, and you know what? Planning is very important. You submit them to the Lord. You yield your plans to the Lord. But you watch out for distractions, things that will take you from the purpose of God. Because as long as you're breathing, God wants to do something with your life. The question is, that are you going to yield to that invitation? The question for you and I is, when he knocks on our hearts, what are we going to do? What decision are you going to make? Because God is calling all of us. and he says, hey, you are on this level, but guess what? There is the next level. We need the word of God in our lives. We need to stand on what Jesus did. We cannot put our faith in anything else. Because remember what it says is that anything that can be shaken is going to be what? Shaken. You put your trust in money, guess what happens? It can be shaken. Billions can be wiped off the stock exchange, shares. Billions. And sometimes it doesn't happen. It happens in a day where they'll say 25 billion, the share has been down in billions. There is something that we need to anchor our lives in. If you're going to prosecute the assignment that God has for you, it has to be centered on the Word of God and intimacy with the Father. That is the basis. That and that alone. There is nothing else. We cannot put our faith in anything else but the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So the decisions that we make will determine our direction. Peter decided to step out of the boat. The apostle decided what mattered most to them. And Paul decided to press on for whatever God had for him. And I want to say this, and I believe this with all my heart, that you might think yourself of a certain age and think that, I'm finished. My time is done. No. As long as you're still breathing, there is an articulation of the assignment of God that you are going to have to do. You are going to have to do business with God. And may we stand this morning. You're going to have to do business with God and say, Lord, what is it? What is the greater purpose in my life that you are calling me to? Thank you. What is the greater purpose that you are calling me to? Let's pray this morning. I invite you to raise your hands to the Lord. There is a level that you're on, but there is another level. And the Lord, you will get the invitations. Some of you have already got the summons from the Lord where he's knocked on your heart. Where he's woken you up in the middle of the night. You've woken up with a song in your spirit. Now I'm here to give you some, that is the Lord. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you are calling us deeper. You are calling us to yield our lives to you. I thank you for every person in this place today. That, Lord, Jesus is our anchor. Him and him alone deserves our full devotion. And so this morning, I'm just going to ask for those that have never given their lives to the Lord, that you would not put it off and say, I'll do it tomorrow. And you know, the one thing that I've been saying is that God doesn't bang the doors down. At times he does, but on most occasions, it is a whisper. It is a knock on the door of your heart. And this morning, will you yield to what the Lord wants to do in your life? And so I'm going to invite everybody to say this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross, to give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning, just with every eye closed, head bowed, just raise your hand so that we can see. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you. thank you for your people, Lord God, that you are calling us, Father, to decisions. This morning, I'm going to ask that if the Lord has been stirring your heart, I just want you to, as we worship, as we begin to worship, just to step to the front. Just to step to the front as a sign to God to say, hey, Lord, I've heard you knocking on the door of my heart. And I'm taking a step. I might not know what it is, but Lord, I am taking a step forward. And what we're going to do is that we're just going to worship, and there's not going to be anything weird. We're just going to pray with you and just pray with you. Let's sing this morning. But take a step to say, Lord, I know you're knocking on the door of my heart. And we'll pray, and then have a wonderful rest of the day. And of course, we'll see you next week, Sunday. Let's sing.